Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 23rd, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall as Germany's private sector suffers its worst downturn in almost 7 years.
On the trade front, signs point to optimism that talks between the U.S. and China are moving forward.
And as IPO plans stall, WeWork directors consider removing Adam Neumann as CEO.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warns of a grave new chapter over President Trump's Ukraine call. Plus, the U.N. General Assembly begins today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A thrilling win for the Giants. Rookie Daniel Jones led them to a comeback win at Tampa Bay. The Jets lost. The Mets and Yankees won.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 and low-cost online broker for the 18th consecutive year by Barron's. Learn why at ibkr.com/yib.
And global stocks are heading lower to start the week. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're little change now. Dow futures down 24. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany's down 1.2%. CAC in Paris down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil's down 0.6% or 36 cents at $57.72 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $11.10 at $15.26.30 an ounce. And this update brought to you by Innovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Innovalon, data has a story to tell. Innovalon gives it a voice. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with data out of Europe this morning showing Germany's private sector suffering its worst downturn in almost 7 years. The country's manufacturing slump deepened with a purchasing managers index falling to 49.1 in September. Hani Redha's portfolio manager at Pinebridge Investments.
The trade war has really impacted this segment of the global economy most intensely, and every stimulus form that we've seen so far has come from China and from the U.S. China's stimulus, however, is much more domestically focused, and that's why we have not seen a lift coming to Europe.
The euro weakened below 110 against the dollar following the data. Right now, it's trading at 109.79.
And U.S. futures had been higher before that data out of Europe as signs point to optimism that U.S.-China trade negotiations are moving forward. There are hints of progress from last week's low-level talks. We get the very latest now from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
Talks ended with both sides describing them as constructive. And, of course, they're looking ahead now to October the 10th, potentially for the date when the high-level talks will continue. Certainly, it's a reversal of fortunes from reports that China had canceled their planned visit to states, including Montana, to discuss potential agricultural purchases. And then, of course, we have this report quoting China's Vice Minister for Agriculture saying that, in fact, the trip had been cancelled for other reasons and that they were hopeful that the U.S. would help them rearrange another visit at another time.
And sources tell us Chinese Vice Premier Liu He plans to visit Washington the second week in October.
Meanwhile, in Hong Kong, we saw a 16th week of pro-democracy protests bring fires to the streets. Here with details is Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin in Hong Kong.
We saw thousands come out for the rallies on Saturday, which devolved into clashes with police that saw the use of petrol bombs by protesters, tear gas and rubber bullets by police. And on Sunday, hundreds rallied, focusing primarily on shopping malls with businesses targeted that are seen to be pro-Beijing. So pressure piling up on the retail sector as sales are sagging in the city, with tourist arrivals continuing to decline, and we're seeing vacancies when it comes to shops.
Hong Kong anticipates large-scale protests again next weekend, plus the following Tuesday, the anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China.
When it comes to stocks in Asia, it was a mixed session today. Markets in Japan were closed while the rest of the region weighed unrest in Hong Kong against optimism on trade talks. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Financial and industrial firms led losses. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was lower for a sixth session following a 16th week of protests in the city. Mainland Chinese stocks also fell. The yen edged lower in thin holiday trade while the offshore yuan climbed. The Korean won led declines in Asian FX as preliminary data suggest exports are still under pressure. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. Turning to corporate news, pressure is building on the CEO of WeWork. Bloomberg News has learned some directors of the company are now looking to remove Adam Neumann as chief executive. We get more on the story from Bloomberg's Selena Wang.
Some of those board directors are expected to encourage Neumann to step down as CEO and take a position as a non-executive chairman. That's what sources have been telling Bloomberg. Now, of course, last week they announced they would be pushing back their IPO. There's been this increasing concern around investors and Wall Street bankers that this company can reach financial stability. But time is very short for this company. It must reach an IPO before the end of the year in order to keep access to its crucial $6 billion loan.
Sources say WeWork's board plans to meet today and that SoftBank is among investors looking to remove Neumann.
In Europe, Deutsche Bank has completed a deal to transfer its prime brokerage business to BNP Paribas. For more on the story, we're joined live in London by Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. This is part of Deutsche Bank's biggest overhaul in recent history. About 1,000 employees will transfer to BNP Paribas through 2021. The two firms had agreed on a deal in principle in early July, but finalising it has been complicated by a flood of client defections. The agreement could vault BNP Paribas into the global top four of prime brokerages over the next 12 months and bring the scale needed to compete with the bigger players. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. And the UK travel agent Thomas Cook has filed for bankruptcy. It's a move that results in the cancellation of all bookings, flights and tours for hundreds of thousands of tourists. We get more from Bloomberg's Ksenia Galuchka in London.
150,000 British citizens are left stranded overseas as the result of this. The UK government, which rejected the company's proposal for a bailout, is evacuating all these passengers. But there's other companies involved as well, like On the Beach, which said that it'll have to take a one-off cost related to the Thomas Cook collapse.
And Thomas Cook has struggled under a hefty debt load. It's the worst performing stock in the FTSE this year. S&P futures are unchanged, very little changed at the moment. Dow futures down 28 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 7.5. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Here's Michael Barr to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump heads into a three-day visit to the United Nations this week in Manhattan. It comes as the UN Secretary General is asking world leaders to come with a plan at the Climate Change Action Summit today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Antonio Guterres says the globe needs more than just empty promises. He says he is optimistic, though.
My belief is that all these things, of course, sometimes take time. The influence of public opinion in governments take time. But I'm optimistic about the future contribution of the U.S. to climate action.
Yeah, meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump says he will not attend the conference, opting instead for a religious freedom event. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump appeared to acknowledge on Sunday that he had discussed former Vice President Joe Biden in a July 25th phone call with Ukraine's president that is the subject of a congressional investigation. The president, speaking to reporters near Houston, also said he'd consider releasing a partial transcript of the call.
We'll make a determination about how to release it, releasing it, saying what we said.
Trump also says U.S. presidents and foreign counterparts should be free to have candid confidential conversations. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signaled a readiness to take stronger action against President Trump over his Ukraine call. Bloomberg's Steve Guymon reports.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who in a letter to her colleagues, both Republican and Democrat, said if that whistleblower complaint is not released later this week at a congressional hearing, the U.S. will enter a grave new chapter over the call that the president had with the Ukrainian leader.
Pelosi didn't mention impeachment, although a key House lawmaker, Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of California, suggested Trump's actions may very well have crossed the Rubicon, warranting further action. Elizabeth Warren took the lead in Iowa in a new poll, dislodging former Vice President Joe Biden from the number one spot and putting the two Democratic presidential candidates in a statistical tie. Tropical Storm Karen is slowly moving northwestward across the southeastern Caribbean Sea, while Tropical Storm Jerry moves north-northwestward over the western Atlantic Ocean,
The National Hurricane Center in Miami said today that Karen is expected to pass near or over Puerto Rico and the U.S. and British Virgin Islands tomorrow. Game of Thrones captured the Emmy Award last night for Best Drama Series. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Giants' first win of the season had a little of everything. A huge comeback, a sensational NFL debut, a significant injury. In the end, a little luck. Tampa Bay's Matt Gay had made all four of his field goals, but had missed two extra points from the same distance where he missed the game-winning 34-yard kick at the end. The Giants got by the Bucs 32-31. Giants were down 18 at the half in 16 NFL seasons. Eli Manning had never engineered a Giant comeback that big. Daniel Jones did it in his first NFL start. The kid was terrific. Two touchdown passes, two TD runs, including the game-winning score on fourth down. Eli has only run for seven TDs in his career. The winning coach, Pat Shurmur.
Well, that was quite a game. Obviously, you know, these games can go down to the very last play, and it did. You know, they did a really good job of moving the ball against us in the first half. We came back in the second half and did a good job of stopping them and getting them the punt, and then we turned around and got a couple quick scores, but put this thing back into bounds.
The injury, a high ankle sprain suffered by Saquon Barkley, who was having a rough day. He'll have an MRI today. The Jets, as expected, never in it. In New England, they trailed 30-0. They got defensive and special teams TDs at the end to make it 30-14. The Patriots' defense in their last four games, the three this season and last year's Super Bowl, allowed 6 points. Pats, one of seven teams of 3-0. The Rams, who they beat in that Super Bowl, held off Cleveland last night 20-13. The other 3-0s, two surprise teams, Buffalo and San Francisco, as well as Kansas City, Dallas, and Green Bay. Yankees' last regular season home game, last for CC Sabathia, honored before first pitch. Yanks beat Toronto 8-3. Second straight strong start for Luis Severino. Mets won in Cincinnati 6-3. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Might be seeing a bit of a shift in direction for U.S. futures. S&P futures are unchanged right now. Dow futures down 22 points, but NASDAQ futures are higher by 11. This is Bloomberg. Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CMEmini. And S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures up 9. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds, yield 1.69%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 29 cents at $57.81 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.8% or $11.30 at $15.26.30 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump heads into a three-day visit to the United Nations this week. Meanwhile, what exactly did Mr. Trump say to the new president of the Ukraine in a July phone call? Democrats want an investigation into whether Trump improperly used his office to try to dig up damaging information on a political rival. In football, the Giants won. The Jets lost to the Patriots. The Ravens and Raiders lost. The 49ers won. Redskins play tonight. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox won, along with the Orioles and Giants. Nationals and A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's just before 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and week ahead on Global Wall Street. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's head of the Americas News Desk, Joe Weisenthal, in New York. In London, European News Director David Merritt is with us, and in our studio in Beijing, Bloomberg Managing Director Emma O'Brien. David, we'll start with you because it seems like the PMIs out of Germany and France certainly seem to be setting the tone For the trading session today, at least.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a very gloomy tone, indeed. More bad news, particularly out of Germany, Europe's biggest economy. It's suffering its worst downturn in almost 7 years. The slump in its manufacturing deepening, obviously, with the backdrop of the trade war and the looming Brexit cliff edge coming at the end of October. All very bad news for Germany. And it's really adding to pressure on Germany's government to do something about it, to add some fiscal stimulus. So far, they've been holding the line. We've had more stimulus, of course, from the European Central Bank. But the question is now, can Germany's government step in with some measures? You know, they run this zero deficit budget, but that may need to change if we're going to avoid a recession. Markets taking fright. The euro is off about 0.33% against the dollar this morning, and stocks falling as well as general economic gloom takes hold.
Yeah, disappointing, certainly for investors who are long equities, Emma O'Brien, given the fact that we had seen up to now some rather positive developments on the U.S.-China trade front.
Right. Well, we're at this point where everything the two sides do is being read intently for signals. And China had planned a visit to farms in Montana and Nebraska over the weekend, apparently as some kind of goodwill gesture. Now, sources told our reporters that Robert Lighthizer's office wasn't made aware of the tour until it had been set up, and that his office subsequently asked the Chinese group to pull out because of domestic reasons. Now, you can imagine at how that might have been read in markets. But despite this fracas, China at least is taking a conciliatory tone right now, with the two sides meeting for low-level talks, which apparently are still going on smoothly. China's vice agricultural minister said in Washington over the weekend, negotiations in the farm goods area, they've gone very well, and China and the U.S. have held thorough and candid communication.
Now, while those low-level talks continue, Joe Weisenthal, President Trump's got all sorts of talks on his plate this week with the U.N. General Assembly meeting.
Yeah, it should be a pretty extraordinary week in New York City, thanks to the U.N. General Assembly meeting. So many different storylines will be converging here in New York. So obviously the simmering tensions with Iran will be big. The ongoing Brexit debate, that is going to bring its way to New York with so many European leaders here. Obviously, the aftermath of last week's climate action will continue to be on top of the agenda. So should be a pretty full week. And of course, the Bloomberg Global Business Forum this Wednesday. Absolutely, some huge global names going to be speaking there. Narendra Modi, Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon, Mark Carney, Jamie Dimon, Bob Iger, and others. So will be quite a news-filled week in New York City.
Yeah, certainly sounds like it. As far as corporate news this morning, David Merritt, the big story has a lot of travelers pretty upset this morning.
Yes, that's right. Thomas Cook, it's a very famous name in the tourism industry, particularly here. It's a 178-year-old company. They filed for an insolvency in the early hours of this morning. That means all the bookings, flights, package tours have all been cancelled. It's left 150,000 UK customers of theirs stranded overseas. The government's saying it's going to help to return all those travellers. They're calling it the largest repatriation in peacetime history. So real chaos across the board. It's collapsed this company under the pile of debt, and talks have been going on with creditors failing last night. One interesting twist, though, emerging this morning. Of course, with any of these situations, there are always some winners, and this collapse may prove lucrative for some investors holding credit insurance. They look set for a windfall of up to $250 million.
Oh, and that is a twist indeed. And speaking of twists and turns, Joe Weisenthal, the saga surrounding the WeWork IPO and now new pressure on the CEO.
Yeah, it just continues to turn the WeWork story. So obviously, first they tried to do an IPO at this much bigger valuation, then that's come down a lot, then they've made changes to the board structure. Now some members of the board who are associated with SoftBank want to oust CEO Adam Neumann. It just goes on and on. Obviously, he wants to get out the door, according to reporting, and do the IPO. SoftBank wants to hold back, but it's clear there's an extraordinary amount of turmoil for a company that had been extraordinarily hot up until, it seems, the moment that it was ready to go public.
Turmoil might be an understatement when it comes to describing the situation in Hong Kong, Emma O'Brien.
Yeah, I mean, anti-China protests in the city just entered their 16th week, if you can believe it. The sort of action we've come to expect every weekend, clashes between police and protesters, with subway stations becoming a key front, and demonstrators actually this weekend using a lot of fire, blazing barricades and things like that to keep the authorities at bay. There's no sign of any of this abating or the Hong Kong authorities giving in to protesters' demands, which is somewhat surprising given we're a week away from the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic here, and it was long thought China would act before then.
Our Bloomberg Managing Director M. O'Brien in Beijing, along with the head of the America's News Desk, Joe Wiesenthal in New York, and European News Director David Merritt in London. Thanks to all three of you. And it is 6:25 on Wall Street. S&P futures are lower, but by just one half of 1 point right now. Dow futures down 28 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 9 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed and European stocks are lower following disappointing data out of Europe. Manufacturing and services numbers for Germany came in far short of estimates. Honey Redhaus, a portfolio manager at Pinebridge Investments.
It's going to take quite some time to see some improvement coming to Europe. Growth is lower. It's actually, you know, negative as far as the soft data is concerned, still not negative on hard data. But that lower growth is somewhat offset by easing of financial conditions. And so we've seen monetary policy put a floor on things, and it reduces that discount rate, reduces that cost of capital to some extent.
U.S. futures had been higher before the data out of Europe after positive signs on trade talks between the U.S. and China. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann has more from Hong Kong.
Markets are sensing some optimism. China's Ministry of Commerce called talks in Washington last week constructive. A report that China's withdrawal from a planned visit to U.S. farm states had nothing to do with trade talks, they say, also helped calm nerves.
Bloomberg News has learned Beijing and Washington aim to hold the next high-level talks in D.C. around October 10th.
Pressure is building on the CEO of WeWork as the company's IPO plans stall. Bloomberg News has learned some directors of the company are now looking to remove Adam Neumann as chief executive. We get more on this story from Bloomberg's Selena Wang.
Neumann has very quickly gone from this very celebrated startup founder to a highly controversial figure. There's been this onslaught of negative news around his personal behavior, his corporate management style, this over-the-top culture he's created at WeWork, not to mention the massive financial losses at this company.
And sources say WeWork's board plans to meet today and that SoftBank is among those looking to remove Neumann.
In Germany, Deutsche Bank has finalized a deal to transfer its prime brokerage business to BNP Paribas. Bloomberg News has learned about 1,000 Deutsche Bank employees will be transferred to the French bank over the next 2 years.
And in the UK, travel agent Thomas Cook has filed for bankruptcy. The move results in the cancellation of all bookings, flights and tours, leaving more than 150,000 of the customers stranded. Futures this morning, again, little change. Dow futures are down 22. NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 33 cents at $57.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $11.50 at $15.26.60 an ounce. And the euro 1.0984 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has the latest on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signaled her readiness to take stronger action against President Donald Trump over a phone call with Ukraine's president, now the subject of scrutiny, after the administration refused to release a whistleblower's complaint. In a letter to colleagues, Pelosi says if the administration persists in blocking this whistleblower from disclosing to Congress a serious possible breach of constitutional duties by the president, they will be entering a grave new chapter of lawlessness. House Democrats are giving the president until Thursday to hand over the whistleblower's complaint. Meanwhile, the president in Texas once again criticized former Vice President Biden.
What he said was a terrible thing. And, you know, he really made it a, it was an offer. It was beyond an offer. It was something where he said, I'm not going to give billions of dollars to Ukraine unless they remove this prosecutor. And they removed the prosecutor supposedly in 1 hour. And the prosecutor was prosecuting the company of the Sun and the Sun.
The president didn't offer any evidence to back his claim. President Trump heads into a three-day visit to the United Nations this week for the General Assembly. The president says he will be skipping today's action summit on climate change and instead address a meeting about the persecution of religious minorities. A Des Moines Register CNN MediaCom poll shows Senator Elizabeth Warren taking the lead from former Vice President Joe Biden among the Democratic presidential candidates. It comes as Warren spoke about the UAW strike against General Motors. Warren, who joined striking workers in Detroit, said GM needs to do a better job for its employees.
GM made billions of dollars in profits last year and closed five plants around this country. GM is demonstrating that it has no loyalty to the workers of America or to the people of America.
The strike now enters its second week. Opening statements are set to begin in the murder trial of a white former police officer accused of shooting her black neighbor in his apartment. Amber Geiger is expected in a Dallas court this morning, where she will stand trial for the fatal shooting of 26-year-old Botham Jean last year. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, and Daniel Jones' first NFL start, he did something Eli Manning never did in his 16 NFL seasons. He led the Giants to a victory after they trailed by 18 points. Jones, solid throughout, did have a couple of fumbles due to Tampa Bay's pass rush. Problem was the Giants' defense. They let the Bucs score every time they had it in the first half. But the defense stiffened to the second half, and Jones capped the Giant comeback.
Jones takes the snap, back to throw, steps up, he's going to run. Jones to the five, touchdown Giants! Daniel Jones on a 7-yard run on a 4th and 5 from the 7. And the Giants have tied it up with 1:16 to go.
The extra point put him ahead. WFAN, the call, 32-31. Achieved only when Tampa Bay's Matt Gay, who had made all four of his field goals but had missed two extra points, missed a game-winning 34-yard field goal at the end. The big story of the day was Jones. Two touchdown passes, two TD runs.
Exciting win, exciting finish there for us. We showed a lot of fight, and we, you know, battled back after kind of creating a hole for ourselves there in the first half. You know, as a team, we did a good job preparing and kind of focusing on what we needed to do to get ready to play this game. And you thought we had a good plan going in. We knew what to expect, and, you know, great team win.
In the win, Saquon Barkley left high ankle sprain, hopped off the field at the end. He'll have an MRI today. So the Giants get their first win. The Jets still looking, blown out at New England, 30-14. Luke Falk's first NFL start, not nearly as good as Jones's, only 98 passing yards. Rams last night held on, one at Cleveland, 20-13. Yankees beat Toronto 8-3. Luis Severino's second start, another good one. Yanks half game behind Houston. Astros clinched the division. Justin Verlander got his 20th win. Mets a 6-3 win at Cincinnati. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashel. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
What's to be done about the Federal Election Commission? The FEC should have 6 members, but a recent resignation left it with 3, all of whom are on holdover status because their terms expired long ago. The commission needs 4 members for a quorum, so now it can't determine whether laws have been broken. With 2020 approaching, it's an inauspicious moment to disable the Federal Election Watchdog. The president has made 1 nomination to the FEC, but the Senate has not held a confirmation hearing. He should instead advance a full slate of new commissioners, 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans, chosen with input from senators of both parties. If that's too much to ask, then add the FEC to the list of repairs facing the next president and Senate. With luck, and let's hope a fair election, they'll fix it. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's just before 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Forget this part of what you learned as a kid.
It's not easy being green.
Actually, for businesses, it turns out it's not only easy, but profitable. Take Nike. It's come up with a way to weave more efficiently, reducing the raw material needed to make each shoe. That's kept more than 3.5 million pounds of waste from reaching landfills since 2012. But the good news doesn't stop with the environmental impact. The company is spending less on labor, transportation, materials, and waste disposal. Those flimsy plastic water bottles sold by Nestle, the ultra-thin design has a smaller impact on the environment and pushes down packaging and shipping costs. And tech giants Google, Amazon, and Facebook have spent billions on solar and wind power, not just cutting greenhouse gas emissions, but lowering their power bills at the same time. Businesses are learning what was once a trade-off can be a benefit.
It's easy being green.
That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Oh, Bob, thank you. It's coming up to 6:40 on Wall Street. Now let's look at some of the most active stocks in early trading. Shares of U.S. Steel are down 3%. The company was downgraded at J.P. Morgan following last week's disappointing earnings report. Those results are also weighing on AK Steel Holding, which sees its shares down 5% in the pre-market. Roku is up more than 2%. No apparent catalyst there, though it may be just a rebound from last week's record drop. Shares of Roku plunged 27% last week. Netflix is lower by almost 1%. HBO and Amazon both topped Netflix in Emmy Awards last night. HBO won 9. Amazon took home 7. Netflix grabbed 4 Emmys. Those are some of the movers in the pre-market this morning. Bloomberg customers can check out the early equity action by typing most U4GO on the terminal. S&P futures unchanged. Dow futures down 24 points. NASDAQ futures up 10. This is Bloomberg. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are little change. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures down 30 points. S&Ps are a little changed. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 8. The U.S. 10-year yield falls to 1.69%. Gold is up 3. And Shanghai fell 1% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure with 1% losses in Germany and Italy. Note that Thomas Cook collapsed as talks with creditors failed. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Chicago Fed, and at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing and services PMIs. In other news, people familiar said that the WeWork board plans to meet today to discuss the fate of the CEO, and Piper said that Apple is seeing limited excitement for the iPhone 11. Wrapping things up, Continental Resources was downgraded to neutral at Citigroup, Alcoa downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs, U.S. Steel was downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan, and Chewy was upgraded to buy over at Nomura Instinet. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump said he doesn't plan to meet Iranian President Hassan Rouhani during the United Nations General Assembly this week, while leaving open the possibility that he might. The president had talked up the possibility of meeting Rouhani until the attack this month on Saudi oil fields, which the Trump administration has blamed on Iran. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said Sunday that impeachment may be the only remedy to President Trump's refusal to make public a whistleblower complaint and transcript of a phone conversation he had with Ukraine's president. In football, the Giants won. The Jets lost to the Patriots 30-14. The Ravens and Raiders lost. The 49ers won. The Redskins play the Bears tonight. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox won along with the Orioles and Giants. The Nationals and A's lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C., where the Trump administration is pursuing increased sanctions against Iran following an attack on Saudi Arabia's oil infrastructure that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has called an act of war. Pompeo appeared on three Sunday morning talk shows to defend the strategy, including ABC's This Week.
President Trump's strategy that we laid out now 2 years ago is working. We are well on our way to forcing the Iranian regime to ultimately make the decision to become a normal nation. That's all we've ever asked.
Iran says Houthi rebels in Yemen launched the attack. Foreign Minister Javad Zarif was asked on CBS's Face the Nation whether Iran can avoid war with the U.S.
No, I'm not confident that we can avoid a war. I'm confident that we will not start one. But I'm confident that whoever starts one will not be the one who finishes it.
The administration is also defending President Trump's July 25th phone call with the new leader of Ukraine. It's reportedly at the center of a whistleblower complaint. Did the president pressure Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden's son?
The timing is obviously incredibly suspicious. There was also a pending vote in the Appropriations Committee that was going to require next year's aid to be released outside of the discretion of the president. There are likely a bunch of different explanations. Political pressure was mounting on the president from Republicans.
Democratic Senator Chris Murphy on NBC's Meet the Press. Pompeo addressed the controversy on Fox News Sunday.
I've watched this president evaluate how and when and to the extent we should provide support to Ukraine, both defensive systems and other foreign assistance. We've been at the center of that. Those conversations have always been 100% appropriate, 100% lawful.
That is just some of the conversation from the political shows you hear every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with us now on this Monday morning. And, of course, Kate, since those shows aired, President Trump has indicated even more that that conversation with the new Ukraine president did have to do with former Vice President Biden. This just keeps seeming to snowball.
It does, and it seems as though Trump's tactic here is not not to deny that the phone conversation occurred, nor to deny that Biden was even discussed in the conversation. He's seeming to want to focus on his allegation, his counter-allegation, I guess, that Biden has done something wrong here, that Biden essentially, there's a largely debunked accusation out there that Biden essentially asked Ukraine to back off this investigation into his son. And so really what we see here is Trump trying to make it about whether or not Biden did something wrong rather than whether or not he did something wrong himself.
Yeah, it's tough not to try to draw a parallel here between this seeming strategy and what the president did in his contest with Hillary Clinton in 2016, trying to turn controversy against her to his advantage.
Absolutely. I mean, it's straight out of the Lock Her Up 2016 Hillary Clinton email playbook in that sense. He's obviously looking ahead to Biden. He has been all along looking ahead to Biden. It seems, based on kind of reading the tea leaves in his tweets, looking at Biden as a potential general election opponent. And I think that what he's looking to do here is kind of muddy the waters when it comes to an allegation against him. In 2016, it was the allegation that he had improper ties with Russia. And now it's an allegation that he's asked essentially for, he's put pressure on the Ukrainian president to do something that would benefit him politically. And so once again, in 2016, it was talking about the emails and turning the tables in that regard. Now, this time around, we're seeing him turn the tables or try to turn the tables in terms of making it about Biden and whether or not Biden did something wrong.
And of course, the big difference here now is that if these allegations are true, it's the president doing this as opposed to a candidate trying to turn a scandal to his advantage. So where does that leave things?
Well, you would think that that would matter, right? That, you know, being in office, there would be a different level of expectation in terms of the behavior than there would be, you know, both legally and also from a political standpoint, what voters would demand of a president versus a candidate. But I don't know that necessarily that will turn out to be the case. I mean, this is a strategy that, frankly, worked very well for Trump in 2016 and that he continues to employ when it comes to congressional investigations against him. And so I wouldn't expect Trump to abandon it anytime soon. And I don't know necessarily that voters will punish him for it either.
But does this put more pressure on Democrats in terms of the investigations that they've been pursuing against the president? We're hearing a lot more talk of impeachment. And, you know, we heard from Adam Schiff, the House Intelligence Chairman, saying the president may have crossed a Rubicon here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does put more pressure on Democrats for sure. We heard from the House Speaker Pelosi over the weekend who said this basically opens up a grave new chapter, I think were her words, when it comes to, you know, their investigations of President Trump. However, you know, impeachment has always been a bit of a hot potato for Democrats. You know, they're not sure if they're really going to face political backlash for trying to pursue impeachment. So in some ways, having this added pressure on them, you know, is a bit of a double-edged sword. It gives them some more momentum to pursue their investigations, but, you know, where those investigations lead and what the potential political blowback is of those investigations, I think, is still a very open question.
I guess the next potential catalyst we could be looking for here is the testimony coming up from the acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire. He's going to be in open session this week before the House Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, and that could be a very, certainly will be a very closely watched session and could be, you know, potentially an explosive session that could prove to be kind of an inflection point for this if we learn some new information or, you know, if there is, depending on how Trump reacts to it, frankly. And so, you know, this certainly has the potential to escalate. There's always been this open question of whether or not one of these kind of allegations against Trump really sticks and starts escalating to the point where it erodes his support among his base or among independent voters. So far, really, the impact of the Mueller investigation has mostly been to reinforce, you know, the criticism of from the Democratic base. But if that starts to change with this, with these new allegations, I think that would be the thing to watch.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, we know you'll be all on top of it. Thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Timing is everything for AT&T to drop DirecTV. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson is reportedly coming around to the right idea that the wireless carrier would be better off without its DirecTV business. Oddly enough, his decision could hinge on a legal trial in December that has little to do with his company, but everything to do with how far antitrust regulators can be pushed in the Trump administration. That's because the most logical way for AT&T to part with DirecTV is through some sort of combination between the satellite TV service and its closest rival, Dish Network. Stephenson and Charlie Ergen, the billionaire who controls Dish, may be awaiting the outcome of T-Mobile's takeover of Sprint. While regulators have approved that deal, 18 state attorneys general have sued to stop it. Should T-Mobile and Sprint prevail in court, it would set a precedent for allowing the combination of two direct competitors in a highly concentrated market. That might just be the green light that Stephenson and Ergen are waiting for. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures this morning, little change. S&P futures up 1.5 points, Dow futures down 10, NASDAQ futures up about 14. The 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 1.68%, and the yield on the 2-year, 1.66%. And the euro, 1.0987 against the dollar. Straight ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.